Merry Christmas. We welcome you to the beginning. Actually, last evening was, if you were with us last evening, this is the beginning of the Christmas season. The 12 days of Christmas do not precede the Christmas day we celebrate, but it follows until Epiphany. So what that means is you get 12 days of feasting and celebrating and partying, celebrating the goodness of the gift of Christ given to us. So we're grateful that you made it a part of your family celebration today to come and be in the house of the Lord. One announcement, because we will celebrate the entirety of the Christmas season, our offering for the Society of St. Andrew won't be collected until Sunday, January the 8th. So please bring in what we've collected for the Society of St. Andrew for that. Any other announcements? The first hymn is in, thank you. That 149, Once in David's Royal City, that's actually in the hymnal that's in the pew. So it's not in our hymnal, it's in the hymnal that's in the pew. You're on the front row, it's underneath the pew. And also, after the service today, we have some snacks. Sherry and I went and got wreath cookies from Chestnut Hill Bakery. And I hope you eat those and leave all the homemade ones that Werner made for me. What is the name of the cookie you made, Werner?
Speculoos. It's a Belgian cookie that normally on December the 6th for Sinterklaas, which is like right. Santa Claus. Yeah, kids eat that. It's a delicacy for Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium.
And you made them homemade?
No.
Oh.
We didn't have the chance.
We've been there. Well, stay if you can. Don't be in a hurry to leave, and we'll have some refreshments afterwards. I'm going to use this, if there are no other announcements, to transition into a praise. We have been keeping two people in particular in our prayers for several weeks, and both are here with us today. And I'd like to give just show our appreciation for what God has done. And one is at the back is Bea Gardner. And she is able to be back in church. The other, and I don't know, you'd have to enter into an argument. What's more difficult, to go through rehab for a knee or boot camp for the U.S. Marines? But we have been praying for Private Colin Griffin, and we appreciate what you've done for our country. And, you know,
hoorah!
Is it disrespectful for a non-Marine to say that? Okay. I just have to say, we prayed hard because we didn't know if a Griffin could do it. And you did it, brother. You did it. And we are very proud of you, and thank you, as along with all the others who have served, who serve our country. The other person we've had prayer, you will hear more, because actually she will be assisting our worship as we enter into our time of worship. She will actually be lighting the Christ candle, and you'll hear more from the other that we have been diligently praying for. Any prayer requests or praise items that you would like on top of that?
We've got to pray for the Ask Linda workers, the AEP people, those folks that are out there not with their families, trying to get those other families electricity.
And that's true. Let's keep all those first responders of any type, those that are working hard in difficult situations, to provide the comfort that we have. Thanks, Jean. You're exactly right. Carrie.
Just keep praying for Charlie. He's at the summit now. Dad. He's doing rehab, so he's doing really well.
Let's keep Charlie Griffin in our prayers at the summit. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Kathy.
Prayers for a very, very dear friend who fell this week and broke both feet.
Mm-hmm. Can you share a first name?
Kay.
Kay. Kay. Let's keep Kay in prayer. Okay. Yes.
Of course, always have. She had her last chemo the other day.
Oh, great.
And I think she's doing relatively well. Also, my brother-in-law, Brad Smith, he's my sister's husband, is having a really bad time with his leg, and they don't really know what it is. He's 83, and so he's getting on up there, and he was really painful. It was really painful for
him
yesterday, so I want to
lift him up. All right, let's keep Helen in our prayers, and her numbers continue to go down, and let's keep Brad Smith in our prayers. Thank you. Martha.
Families that have an empty chair at their table.
Amen. Families with an empty chair. Thank you. Anyone else? Before we go to prayer, someone we've been praying for and just truly loves our congregation, but for health reasons, since COVID, has not chosen to join in anything that's inside. He's come to all our outside activities, and here recently he's had some health issues that we've been keeping on prayer, and he wrote something he wanted during this time to be read to the congregation. We'll also be putting it in Kelly thought it was a good idea to put it in the newsletter, and we'll do that. But Webb is going to read this letter that is from Glenn Harvey. So let's give our ear to what Glenn is sharing.
Congregation of the Well Church. Ruth and I would like to give a big thank you to Pastor Tom, Sherry, and all the saints of the Well for all the prayers, love, kindness, cards, phone calls, and encouragement shown toward us during this time of our trials and tribulations. It is a true blessing to have a church with a wonderful pastor, a pastor's wife, and a concerned congregation that is the makeup of the Well. Pastor Tom and Sherry came to the hospital in Durham, North Carolina, not once, but twice when I had two separate procedures done. Their presence helped give us encouragement and a blessed peace. We also would like to thank one in our congregation who, in our thoughts, showed love for others by taking the time and coming to our house December 20th and 21st with his equipment and removed all the leaves, which were many, from around the property. Mr. Robert Wright is a man who truly stands behind Christian ethics. This act of kindness was deeply appreciated. Thanks again for all your prayers and concerns. Ruth and I hope everyone has had a blessed Christmas, and we want to wish you a blessed, happy, healthy, prosperous, and safe New Year. May our Lord bless and keep each one of you. Glenn and Ruth.
Thank you for the kindness and love you've shown to Glenn and Ruth. Anything else before we go to prayer? Let's pray together. Our gracious Lord, we can and should daily with the psalmist exclaim, but on no day more loudly than today, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We are so grateful for all the blessings that we have. We have been, through the difficulties of life, abundantly blessed and protected. And we thank you for your care that comes to us directly from your precious Spirit, but is most often mediated through brothers and sisters who reach out with cups of cold water or meals or visits or help around the house, or phone calls, or text, or ways in which we just remind each other that we're in this thing called life together. And we thank you for that. And we come to you now as a family, asking that you would be with these items of concern and items of joy that we bring to you. We know you are present in both. We thank you that B could be here with us today. We pray that you'll continue to strengthen her, uphold her in her progression towards full health and mobility. We pray that you'll strengthen both she and Dave as they continue to make the adjustments involved with recuperation. Lord, we salute Colin. We thank you for his determination and grit and your grace that enabled him to endure and to finish to become a United States Marine. We thank you for his commitment and for so many others who have heard and answered that call. We pray that you would be with those that have been lifted up. We pray that you would be with Brad and with Kay. May they continue to see the pain at a minimum. May they be strengthened, we pray. Continue to be with Helen. May her numbers continue to drop. We pray that you would be with Charlie as he's at the summit. May this be a place where health can be restored and that he will be strengthened to be able to return home and enjoy life. And we do come together as a family, aware of the fact that we are blessed by many who make their living in very difficult situations. We pray that you'll protect those in many fields that serve others and uphold them and encourage them when they're not able to be home with family. And we also remember those families where, because of loss of different types, the definition of family has changed. The picture of what family looked like seems to be constantly, continuously up for revision. But may we know that in the midst of all the changes, in the midst of all the losses, in the midst of all that we grieve, we have one rock-solid promise, and that is that you will never leave us nor forsake us. May that be our strength and our joy and the reason that we can every day say, we will rejoice and be glad in it. And we do that today through your holy name. Amen. If you'll look with me to the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. Restore to us the joy of your
salvation.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the interior, the insert, we'll use Psalm 2 by whole verse, calling each to worship, after which Liz will come for the lighting of the Christ candle. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the people mutter empty threats? Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us. Then he speaks to them in his wrath, and his rage fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. This day have I begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow before him. Happy are they all who take refuge in him.
We're using the other book just in case you forgot.
Oh, thank you. Today we celebrate the coming of God into the world. It's Christmas and Jesus has come for each of us. As we light the Christ candle, may you know that God of power and might will come, not as an armed warrior, but as a babe in a manger. Remember John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." May your Christmas be merry and filled with joy. Father, today is Christmas and we celebrate the coming of Jesus. Thank you for coming in the form of a baby to save us and allow us to have life eternal. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
first reading is from Isaiah 52, 7 through 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye they see the return of the Lord Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Amen.
Almighty God, grant that the new birth of your only begotten Son in the flesh may set free all who are held in servitude under the yoke of sin. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has eternally transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and now as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art on heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from Hebrews 1, 1-6, and 7-12. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels wings, and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end."
Child who is the King above all. We give you honor and praise alone. Amen.
Gospel reading is John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Thank you.
Grace and peace be to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One thing that I like about, I should say one thing I love about Christianity is it's real. There are too many religious and pseudo-religious and philosophical and, just to be blunt, weird philosophies out there that are so far removed from real life. They promise you pie in the sky, and they promise you everything will be just roses, and they promise you that if you just do A, B, and C, or this fourfold path, or that eight traditions, that if you just do this, then everything will go along swimmingly. And I like Christianity because it's far more real. It resists that Platonic notion that the spiritual is somehow better, and anything that's earthy or sensual or real or down and dirty is somehow wrong or not as spiritual. What it produces is a bunch of people that walk around with their nose up in the air, and as you've heard, they're so heavenly minded that they're really no earthly good. Christianity, on the other hand, is not that. It's the exact opposite of that. It's God coming to the earth, and matter matters to God. C.S. Lewis said that matter must matter to God because he made so much of it. There is a lot of matter. So let me ask you a question. What matter, what material was a constant in Jesus' life? We've heard it just sung. I'm going to suggest to you that the one constant material item in Jesus' life was wood. Wood. But it's not unique to Jesus. It's also a constant in Scripture. I went through with a legal pad and just in my mental Rolodex tried to think of places where wood shows up. And I'll probably drop some. And you might fill in the holes. But the first place that wood shows up is in the garden, wasn't it? When Eve was said, you have the freedom to do anything you want to, but don't eat from that tree. And she did. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and he was saved from destruction through what? An ark made of gopher wood. Moses was saved through a basket made of bulrushes. Moses and Israel found their freedom through a staff that was raised and used to part seas and draw water from rocks. Wood was there. Once they got into the promised land, whether in the tabernacle or the temple, the presence of the God was determined by the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was made with what? Wood, covered with gold. The prophet speaks of the temptation of those that would take wood and use it in the wrong way to make idols of it. Then we come to the life of Jesus, and as we heard, when God came to earth, he was placed in a cradle made of wood. He lived his life as a carpenter's son, surrounded by wood. And then finally, he won our forgiveness on an old wooden cross. So if you think about it, wood is everywhere. And in the life of Jesus Christ, he was always surrounded by wood. Well, you say, okay, that's cute, but what's a big deal? What's wood symbolic of? Let me give you a few things very briefly to try to show us how remarkable this story of Christmas, of a God so intimately connected with something so ordinary as wood would be. The first thing is wood is common. Wood is not elite. It's not walled off. It's not the gated, well-to-do people. I remember years ago going to speak in a subdivision outside of Dayton, Ohio. Some of you may know where I'm speaking. The subdivision is called Huber Heights. And when I drove into Huber Heights, never been there before, I was I guess, supposed to be duly impressed. They had a huge billboard when you drove in. Welcome to Huber Heights, the home of more brick homes than any other city in America. Aren't you impressed? They didn't have just wood. They had brick. See, but wood is not that which is exalted by the elite. Wood is common. Wood is plain. Wood is poor. It's ordinary. And I know I celebrate this morning that that's the people that God comes for and cares over. We might become partial. We might become swayed and impressed by the high and mighty and the big and great and the super duper and the extraordinary. But aren't you glad that what gets God's heart motivated to become flesh for us are just ordinary, normal sinners like you and me? And before we think that we're not, it was Paul who reminded the church at Corinth, who thought they were truly something. Look around. There are not many of us that are wise. There are not many of us who are eloquent. There are not many of us who are all that in a bag of chips. We are just plain folk. But that's what draws God's heart. The small, the insignificant, you and me. So that's one of the symbolisms of wood. It's common. The second symbolism that we can find in Scripture is wood is rough. Wood is not soft or easy or tender. You probably would not allow your grandbaby to lay in a wooden box unless you put some padding there. We want the soft. We want the easy. We want the tender. Nothing as rugged as wood. But brothers and sisters, life is not soft and tender and easy. You ever get a splinter? We live in a splinter-torn world. I remember I hated then, and I still hate amusement parks. And I remember being forced, because I was in school and the school was doing a field trip to Busch Gardens, and I went under protest. And the only thing that I could find somewhat interesting at Busch Gardens for my little 12 or 13-year-old brain was a show they were doing, so I just watched the show all day. But I had to sit on a rough, hard bench. After a while, it got hard and painful sitting on a rough, hard bench, so I did what any impulsive boy would do, and that is I moved by sliding and got a splinter. And I spent the rest of the day in the infirmary, which was actually an improvement over the park, having this splinter removed. Now, we laugh at that, but splinters hurt, don't they? And some of them hurt more than others. And sometimes the pain is not seen by anyone except the one who's feeling it. See, Jesus, and I read this in an article, and this whole sermon developed from one line I read. Jesus is a friend of sinners, but he's also a friend of splinters. From his birth to his death, he understands the difficulty of life. He understands the roughness of life. He is a friend of those going through hard times. One of the most Christmas-oriented passages I know, I'll read for you from Hebrews. In Hebrews 4, we read this. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. But we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, Because he knows splinters, he can relate to you and your splinters. He's not unsympathetic. He knows that wood is rough and the life is worth. And he came. And to redeem the roughness, he came and ultimately on that wooden cross, redeemed. Very quickly, let me give you two other things. It's not only common, it's not only rough. Two other things I saw in Scripture. Wood heals. Wood heals. Now, I'm not talking about the therapeutic value of those that know how to work with wood, but there are those in our congregation that will attest to the fact that there's something therapeutically healing to work with wood. But if you go back to the Old Testament, do you remember bitter water being made sweet by wood being thrown into it in Exodus 15? In Leviticus, we see that wood was actually used to purify diseases. And let me ask you, has wood freed you from your sin and your infirmities? Wasn't on that cross where we know that being on the cross healed us. And then finally, wood is strong. Wood is strong. We read throughout Scripture, it's just an idiom that's used over and over to speak of strength. The cedars of Lebanon, they're tall and they're strong. But the most tall and the most strong and the most powerful tree that's listed is in Psalm 96 in a particular version where it's translated, he rules from a tree. He rules from a tree. As we enter 2023, this rough, splintered world, we have the full assurance that one God loved us so much that he came to a wooden stable full of splinters. And he mounted an old wooden cross. And he demonstrated for us that even in the midst of the cross, even from the cross, he ruled. See, all the world has to offer you on this Christmas day is that 2023 might be better. Circumstances might be better. Relationships might heal. Bodies might get stronger. The economy might go up. All we can do is offer somewhat of a hope that things might get better. You know what you say when you say Merry Christmas? We're affirming with Jesus Christ in this splintered world that even if things don't get better, he rules from a tree. And his power overcame this splintered world. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy are you, embracing God, for through your word all things came into being, and without you not one thing was made. As your word spoke through your covenant, you created a people bound to you. through promise and pardon, slavery and exile. You showed that what had come into being through you was life. Your prophets promised that life as a light for all people, and spoke of a day of comfort and redemption, when ruins and waste places would break forth into song. When that day came and the word became flesh, your angels sang for joy and put a new song into our hearts. And even when we rejected your son, you brought forth from his death a resurrection of everlasting glory. You welcome us as your forgiven people, uniting heaven and earth, and joining our voices with angels and archangels in the unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Life-giving God, as your word became flesh and lived among us, come among us now in the fullness of your grace and truth. Make us holy as you are holy, that your word may become flesh anew today. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and upon this wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave it to them, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Christ
is risen.
Christ will come again.
God of glory, make your church a sign of newborn hope in your kingdom. Be born in us today. Where your children are faced with ruin, show them redemption. Where sorrow endures, bring your holy comfort. Where division excludes, give your grace. Where bondage confines, sing your new song. Restore our hope in you until the day when all that you have brought into being finds its everlasting destiny. In the glory of your only Son, when nothing in heaven or on earth falls outside your redeeming purpose, and when all things shall be full of grace and truth in you, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, either last night or this morning or maybe later today, you will, I hope, participate in the giving and receiving of gifts. And I hope it will be a joyous and unexpectedly abundant exercise for you. But you will receive no greater gift ever than the gifts of God, his own eternal Son, offered to you. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with sincerity and truth, to come forth and to receive this gracious gift extended to us all. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast. Again, this is the body of Christ, broken for you, and the blood of Christ. Thank you for feeding us from this table, where you are the host. You are the one who calls us, and you are the one who comes to us. You are the one in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Therefore, all is well, and we give you thanks. In your holy name, amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing the final hymn. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
May the Lord.